Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Staying Alive by Don Donovan. Narrated by Rudy Sanda. Everybody thinks they're the good guys. Reaper Holmes. The Cubans, Miami, Florida. Tuesday, August 14th, 2012. 1. Jimmy, Miami, Florida. Tuesday, August 14th, 2012. 1:45 a.m. The Dobbs Hotel wasn't much to look at. A cheap dump, really. But for Jimmy Quintana, it was the perfect place to kill someone. Nestled down a dark side street in Overtown, one of Miami's rougher areas, about a half block off Northwest 7th Street, it was little more than a flop, not even good enough for whores and their johns, surrounded by a neighborhood of closed eyes and silent tongues. Just what Jimmy needed for this job. He and Raul pulled up in front. No other cars in sight. Three young men walking in their direction were the only moving things as they jostled down the sidewalk from 7th Street, lost in excited conversation. A dim street lamp on the corner and the vertical neon sign in front of the hotel were the only sources of light, and they weren't much. Low clouds moving in from the Keys blacked out the moon, assuring a late-night rain. While they waited for the three men to pass, Jimmy and Raul checked their weapons. Both 380 semi-autos, affixing silencers to their barrels and each jacking around into the chamber. Jimmy's eyes met Raul's, only briefly, but long enough to cement the bond between them and confirm the act they were about to commit. They got out of their car into the steamy night. Inside, the night clerk dozed behind an ancient front desk. Cigarette smoke of 60 years lingered in the air, staining the off-white walls and choking the remaining life out of the dusty armchair and threadbare rug in the small lobby. According to the snitch, Wilfredo was holed up in room 10. The men crept up the sagging stairs to the second story, where room 10 greeted them right away. Jimmy took up the position by the wall nearest the doorknob and motioned Raul to the opposite side of the door. They drew their guns. Jimmy turned the knob slowly and soundlessly. Locked. He looked up and down the empty hall. No sign of anything. No noise. He wiped sweat from his eyelids. He nodded to Raul, who pulled two long, pointed instruments from the pocket of his shirt. Inserting them into the lock, Raul skillfully twisted and jiggled them until he heard a soft click. He withdrew the picks and shoved the door open. They rushed in, guns flashing. In the semi-darkness, they quickly scanned the small room. No one. No opposition. A slim shaft of light slipped in through the room's only window from a warehouse building's security bulb in the adjacent lot off the alley behind the hotel. Jimmy eased the door almost all the way shut. The men adjusted their eyes and took stock. Your basic shabby room. Twin bed in the corner on a metal frame, messed up sheets, no case on the sweat-stained pillow. Rickety chair against the wall next to a card table. Low-rise veneered dresser with two drawers, a small lamp and a fan sitting on top. Sink on the opposite wall with a metal prison-style mirror. A worn little suitcase lay flat under the bed. Jimmy pulled it out. Only old clothes and shaving stuff. Regalia of a guy on the move, laying low. Air conditioning? Forget about it. Jimmy took a seat in the chair. What do we do now? Raul asked. He was short. Some even called him tiny, but never to his face. Jimmy knew Raul was a lot tougher than he looked, fearless, and a good man to have along on jobs like this one. from Cuban heritage. He grew up on the hard streets of East Hialeah. Jimmy was born and raised in another part of Hialeah, from the same Cuban heritage, learning the ways of crime at an early age. His grandfather had run brothels in Havana, and his father had learned the business from boyhood. When they came to Miami, they did what they knew best, and Jimmy grew up in whorehouses. Eventually, he branched out into drugs like everyone else because that was where the real money was. Now, at 30, he had entrenched himself in Hialeah as the number two man and top crew chief in Maxi Mendez's organization. He looked at Raul. "We wait," he said. The air hung heavy in the close, humid room. A trail of sweat started down Jimmy's forehead into his eye and onto his cheek. He wiped it with his shirt sleeve. Raul got up, saying,
"I'll get the door."
He went to close it. Jimmy noted the half-open door, and remembered he'd closed it nearly shut.
"Raul! No! No!"
Two shots rang out from the hallway. Raul was blown backward across the room, red splotches on his chest squirting blood. Jimmy pulled his weapon into firing position and ran to the doorway. He caught sight of a t-shirted figure leaping down the last 5 or 6 steps toward the front door of the hotel. Jimmy flew down the stairs, past the now roused desk clerk and across the lobby. Out the door, into the empty night. He looked in both directions and saw no movement. Heard no sounds other than the distant hum of activity trying to be heard all the way from Northwest 7th Street. He stayed absolutely still, even stopped breathing, to listen for something, anything, a tell as to where that fucking Wilfredo was hiding. Across the street was a small parking lot in front of a boarded-up storefront. Jimmy ran over to the lot and behind the building. Only trash and neglect back here, and big doses of both. Crouching in the weeds, he cast quick glances all around him. Nothing but darkness. He could only identify the heavy stench of human shit drifting around in the immediate vicinity. The rain from the Keys made its appearance, big wet drops plopping on Jimmy's head and all around him. Within a minute, it would be pounding down from the sky. He dropped his gun to his side and thought about Raul and his death on this silent night. They'd known each other since 3rd grade at Hialeah Elementary, and they'd always had each other's back. Always. Jimmy recalled that big scrape he found himself in back in 03 when those punks from Coral Way ventured up into Hialeah. 4 of them, all with shanks, and they had him cornered out behind a bar. He was armed too, but he knew he couldn't take them all. He was mentally ready to go down when Raul ventured out of the bar and appeared behind the punks. He dropped 2 of them right away with a .38. The 3rd wheeled around and cut him on his gun hand, and the 2 struggled. That gave Jimmy the opening to take out the remaining one himself. Raul prevailed over his opponent, wrapped a handkerchief around his cut hand, and he and Jimmy went back inside and got drunk. But now, Jimmy couldn't even go back for him. The cruisers would be here any minute, and he couldn't be seen carrying a corpse out of the hotel. Raul's mother would have to claim him later on. As for Wilfredo, that prick would turn up sooner or later. Tonight he got lucky. But just like in poker, luck only lasts for so long. 2. Jimmy, Hialeah, Florida. Tuesday, August 14th, 2012. 3:05 a.m. Jimmy stewed about Raul all the way home. As he pulled up to his house in the pouring rain, tears found their way onto his face. He dabbed at them with a handkerchief and entered through the garage into the kitchen. Nora was still up. She saw his wet eyes, knew from the reddening it wasn't the rain.
"What is it, honey? What's wrong?" Sample complete. Ready to continue?